Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to review a film that has been doing very well on the festival circuit. It also hit video on demand today and iTunes. It is playing theatrically in a couple of cities. And on Thursday, it's Tuesday, August 2nd. On Thursday the 4th at 1 p.m. we'll have the director on. Her name is Li Lu, and she is one of the film fatales. And we've had, I think, 8 or 10 of them on. So we always enjoy talking to this filmmaking group that just happens to be all women. And they have chapters in New York, L.A., Austin, Georgia. I think it was Brazil or something. I'm always excited to look at these films because we do live in a world where it's 90% male filmmakers. And when you start to kind of look at films, and I cannot stand the way critics get so arrogant. So I'm not speaking with my attitude or ego. If you watch a lot of movies, I'm fortunate to watch 12 to 1500 a year. You see little manipulative ways that filmmakers, manipulate you. And one of them, which I love when you see a film directed by a woman, is that they don't go for, cheaply using the female's beauty. The sensuality and the sex scenes are not gratuitous. They're intimate and human. And I'm not saying there's not direct male directors out there that don't achieve that. But there's a completely different sensibility. And that's what I really dig when I met the first film fatale that I had on and she told me about this group. I thought, this is really awesome because we have a chance here to, see films before they come out or hit a festival or hit release. And then we also get to hear the process of a filmmaker I don't think men and women are different, but I do think our points of view are different. And I do think there's little things that are just naturally and inherently in us that we cannot deny the differences. So today's film is called There's a New World Somewhere. And I urge you to go to imdb.com and type it in. This has an April release of 2015, so it's been out for a little while. It's played festivals. And it has an 8.2. Now, it's really tough. I don't want to reference it to other films that have an 8-point rating because then you're going to go into this thinking that you get that best picture or you get that 8 Oscar winning film. So I urge you with independent films really to take a look back and look at what they're doing. There's so many things that you're not supposed to know about his audience, but there's budgets and there's who's available and there's sometimes you're doing your own marketing and you're doing your own while you're editing, you're also marketing, or while you're reshooting a scene, you're also doing an interview on the phone. So it's a very hard process. It's very hard to make a independent film, a bad one, let alone a great one like this. So I'm going to start out that I'll give you guys a quick synopsis. And again, this is written and directed by Li Lu, who is an AFI alumni. For those of you that don't know what AFI is, that's the American Film Institute. Sylvia, played by Agnes Bruckner, returns to her Texas hometown for a friend's wedding. There she meets Esteban, an electrifying stranger. He dares her to join him on a road trip to the Deep South. Now, what I want to say, and it's not really giving away the movie because in the synopsis it says road trip and Deep South, is that many people say that movies aren't personal, or when you review them or talk about them it's not personal, but you're the one watching it, so how can it not be personal? So the opinions I'm going to share and why I'm going to recommend this, this film obviously touched me in a way that it's going to touch you differently. But on the surface, you know, fantastic film. Really, this is a film where a less skilled filmmaker really would have lost you in the pacing. There was a few moments where it literally took an AFI grad to pull it off. And that's what I liked so much about the film, was that the film didn't take it out. I can't stand when films jump to the left when they're supposed to just take the harder road to the right, and they try to trick the audience or think we're not being attentive. So this film is, you know, I love road movies, and I don't mean like Bonnie and Clyde road movies or Natural Born Killers road movies. I just love the idea of being on the road. I've driven from LA to Detroit and Detroit down to Austin and Austin back to Los Angeles. I've also driven through Missouri and Illinois and down through Arkansas and Memphis and into Mississippi. So for me, it was kind of like, this is cool, because it was so amazing to see America and see 20 different states by car and to be in the same country. But in reality, the South kind of is a different country. And I love the South, don't get me wrong. I got friends down there, and my favorite music is the blues. But so the filmmaker just did such a fantastic job, and the cinematographer, of capturing not the stuffiness, because the movie is not stuffy, but on those car trips, you do just have these crazy conversations. I did do it with the girl I was with at the time, and you just talk about the most random thing, because you know you have another 1,500 miles till you're home. You've already listened to all the CDs. You're going to go 500 miles before the next city you want to see. And I really appreciated the writing, because it was very, very real. It wasn't seeking for what moments it creates. That's another thing I can't stand about movies, when they're trying to set you up for the great thing behind the door. This was, you know, heavily, a lot of it relied obviously on the two main actors, a dialogue heavy film that did, of course, like I said, capture the road perfectly. I felt like I was on a road trip for an hour. And again, it's an hour and 45 minutes, but I won't spoil things about the beginning or end. And I think there was also some great moments about the metaphor of the road being the road that we're all on, and that we're all on a separate road, but society kind of conforms us to think that we have to take a certain road and that we have to be a certain thing by a certain age. And we don't. And some people, you know, learn that in their 20s. Some learn that in their 30s. Pardon me, I'm going to drink some water. Again, for you new listeners to Talking Pictures, we like this to be like a coffee shop atmosphere. When we have guests on, we invite you to have coffee, tea, water, whatever. We'd rather hear you take a drink than talk with a dry throat. So back to the film. I guess it just kind of floored me, because as I was watching it, I was just thinking, you know, when is this movie gonna get cheap? Like, I was kind of in suspense, like, where is this going? What is this doing? The setup was perfect, original, and God, I'm trying to think of the right word. It was just a beautiful portrait of life. And that's what I liked most about it, was that there were so many things I related to with the male character, and there were so many things that the female does and says that I've heard my female friends talk about. And it was kind of like I was getting to kind of live through both characters. And I think that's rare because a lot of us don't have a very good friend of the opposite sex. So we don't really get to know and understand how the opposite sex is feeling. We're just quick to judge or label. And again, I cannot stand labeling or judging. So this film, There Is a New World Somewhere, hit video on demand today, Tuesday, August 2nd, iTunes. When the director comes on Thursday, we'll have her tell us the cities that it's playing theatrically. I do apologize that I don't have that information. It is a total snafu as a host, but I'm going to tell you that this won the best feature film at the Boonies International Film Festival in 2015. It won a special jury award for best first feature at the Las Vegas Film Festival, special jury award winner best feature at the LA Asia Pacific Film Festival. Now that's a really big festival. It's at the Directors Guild of America, and it is very special to get into that festival. I had the good fortune to cover it 2 years back in 2012 and 13. You see some really great stuff there. And then listed as top 10 films of 2015 by Asian American Directors, Asia Pacific Arts Magazine. Again, here, I realize that we live in a world where you have to say Asian or you have to say this or that. You know, I'm not even going to get into what's going on in the country, but talking pictures, we don't believe in labels. So a filmmaker is a filmmaker. We've all been in the trenches or are in the trenches on a project. So as always, we thank our friend Jonah, and thank you to film director Lee Liu for sharing this. I look forward to interviewing her on Thursday. For all of you that join us for Talking Pictures, we will always say that we appreciate that. And as always, whether you're listening to this in the morning, afternoon, and evening, make sure you watch a good movie today. Aloha.